The show is Finding Common Ground. This is Belfast Community Radio, WBFY, 100.9 FM in Belfast, Maine. And we are streaming live at BelfastCommunityRadio.org. And our phone number, this is a live call-in show from the basement of Waterfall Arts, 338-2277. Feel free to give us a call. I'm pleased to introduce today Peter Patton. Peter has three college degrees in farming, writing, and theater. He serves on the board for Clap Theater Group in Belfast and has worked on over 30 feature films and TV pilots. He's been working on his stand-up skills in Massachusetts and New York City. And many of us know Peter as customers at the local grocery store where he pushes carts and bags groceries, or through his lively Facebook page, always filling up with comments from warring factions. Welcome to the program, Peter.
Ah, geez, thanks, Jennifer. It's great to be here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So you have a fascinating resume. So were you born in Belfast?
I was not. I was born in Massachusetts, and my parents had a dairy farm in Western Mass.
Oh.
I was born in Clinton, Mass. We moved up to the town of Troy, Maine, in 1955, when I was 9 years old, when Eisenhower was still serving his first term. And I kind of grew up there.
Were you a Republican? A little Republican?
Yes, back then I was, yeah.
Yeah.
And it kind of became neutral then when, you know, the conservative voice in the party became stronger, or at least more obvious, leading into the Reagan era. Then
that's where you differed.
I totally abandoned that party.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's interesting how this is, there's a lot of party jumping going on right now, it seems like.
Yes.
People leaving parties. So did you have siblings?
Yes, two brothers, older. One of them's gone now.
You were the baby.
No, two sisters.
Younger. Oh, two younger sisters. That's a big family.
Yeah. There's five of us.
Five.
I get stuck in the middle, but, you know, we survived. Yeah.
So, where did you go to school? You went to three schools. You went to, apparently, or maybe the same schools you did farming?
For college.
Yeah.
That was all at the University of Maine.
Oh.
Up at Oronal.
So you went through their, what do they call the farming degree?
Oh, mine was animal sciences. Oh. I got that one in 1968.
Wow.
Covered.
Was that your first?
Yes. And it covered livestock management and animal nutrition, crops, composition of milk. And
I bet it was a very different school back then.
Oh, yes. Most things were different back then than they are now.
That's true.
Yes. I graduated from that program in 1968, which is a very difficult time for this country, of course. What time isn't difficult?
What was the campus like then in 68 up in Orono? Was there a lot of rioting? And I mean, that was when... Martin Luther King was killed, wasn't he?
Yes. A few weeks apart from when Robert Kennedy was killed. It was a painful time for everyone. I think maybe 67 and 68. The campus was kind of quiet in some ways because, like the rest of our culture, I think that changes were starting. It was a start of a transition,
Yeah, I remember those times. I was living in the middle of the country in Kansas City, so it was different, but they had love-ins and back then.
Sure, and that kind of activity was just starting like 68 or 69 at the Orono campus.
Were you a rebel? Were you a part of that?
Not so much when I graduated in 68, although I was, you know, had already become disillusioned with the Vietnam War.
Yeah. Did you go to the Vietnam War?
No. The, I went back to the family farm, and that I was granted
reprieve of some kind.
Yes, for farming. And if I had to make the difficult decision of going in the service or not going in, seeing as how I didn't have to make that decision, I don't know how he would have decided.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been a day trip to Canada for me.
Yeah.
I don't know which way I would have gone because I didn't have to make that decision. Yeah.
So your second degree is in writing. What kind of writing? That's also from Orono.
Yes, it is.
Is it another four-year degree?
3 years. I ended up with 3 degrees as a full-time, and I was farming at the same time.
Wow.
I was a full-time student at the University of Maine for a total of 11 years.
Oh, my God.
Think I would have learned more, but... I just was getting burned out with farming.
Yeah.
And maybe because I was right there where I grew up and I just needed a different environment and be somewhere else or at least doing something else. And I thought, well, maybe writing because I always enjoyed writing. And I thought, well, journalism, writing for newspapers.
Oh, so it wasn't creative writing, it was journalism.
When I first got onto the idea, it was probably because the only reading I had time to do while I was farming was newspapers and watching news on TV.
Mm-hmm.
So the only kind of writing I could think of was journalism.
Mm-hmm.
But even before I registered for classes, this is in the late 70s, I somehow realized I really don't want that kind of writing because I want to be I want something more creative.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to imagine you as a farmer. I can't imagine a man of your many talents being satisfied as a farmer.
Huh.
Do you miss it?
Well, I still help out with very little, but no, I had too many other things going on I want to pursue. So I'm too busy to miss it.
You must have a lot of student debt with all those years.
I do, yes.
Oh, jeez.
I don't know if it'll ever get paid off. It probably won't without some kind of miracle job coming along, acting, or selling a big story or something. It's
killer.
Yes.
I was just seeing on Facebook, one of my friends has $400,000 worth of debt from school debt. And it's like, yikes, that's almost $500,000.
For me, it's over 160.
Oh, jeez.
It's a good experience, but maybe I wouldn't have done it that way if I were to do it again.
Yeah. So when did you decide you wanted to be an actor?
Well, writing didn't quite take me far enough. And I could get into some acting here in Belfast, about 25 miles from home, in a community theater. And
now,
I did that.
What year is this? You were living with on the family farm at that point?
When I started acting, I was still at the family farm.
And that's in Troy?
Yes. And I got into acting in the 1990s.
Was that with Basil Burwell?
His
group, The Maskers?
Yes. Yes.
So that was your first experience with acting?
Yes. I acted as a fill-in for one play one night in high school. And I didn't do any more acting until I was about 50.
Wow. What was the first production that you worked on with Basil?
The Good Woman of Szechuan.
Oh.
Bertolt Brecht.
Were you in The Mad Woman of Shio? I did see that, and it was absolutely some of the best theater I've ever seen.
I don't think so.
Yeah. There's some really good actors in that group.
Mm-hmm. A lot of good actors around.
Yeah,
very
there
talented.
Are. Were you trained to be, did you ever go through training as a, so you went to the university for training as an actor as well?
No, I didn't. I had no classes in acting, except that after graduating finally in 2000, I signed up for some improv workshops down New York City, 11 weeks with the Second City Company.
Mm-hmm.
And workshops in New York City at the time. Went up to Bangor every Wednesday morning, got on the 7 o'clock bus, got down to New York mid-afternoon, had a workshop that night.
How fun is that?
Lots of fun. And they got back on the bus at 3 in the morning, came back.
Wow.
11 weeks worth. That was fun. I'm glad I did it.
Slept on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of hard. Yeah. Hard on the neck, but...
It is. Yeah. But for heavy, head as heavy and big as mine, it's hard to sleep anywhere. It really is.
They have those neck pillows that are good for the bus.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
So do you see yourself as a character actor or a leading man?
Oh, God, I don't know. I'm usually happy to take whatever comes along. And it's usually a character actor. Doesn't really matter to me, but I think for every actor, it's important to be able to put yourself in the role a little bit.
And how do you go about that?
Just remember who you are for a moment. Of course, we all change a little every day, and we change it every experience we have. But you just remember who you are. And remember that in order to get a role and to keep getting roles, there has to be something unique about yourself in the role. Otherwise, they could give the role to anybody. And we all need ourselves to, for others to use. There has to be something about ourselves that shows up in our performance.
This is Jennifer Hill. The show is Finding Common Ground, and I'm here today with Peter Patton. Peter is an actor and a comedian and does some stand-up work, is doing that. Also, a bit of a politician if you look at his Facebook page. Lots of opinions coming down there. What do you think of the world today, Peter? Are things getting out of hand?
Yeah, of course, that's happened in the past, and the world has survived. No, hope it does this time, and I think it will, but yeah, it's out of hand, and I think some changes are needed.
What sort of changes would you like to see?
For people to have to review what their values are and what's important to them regarding other people. And what we need to do for the planet to keep the planet surviving. Of course, it's going to survive without people, but we want it to survive in a way that, you know, it's good for whatever comes in the future, even beyond us. One thing that's important to me from a political standpoint, civil rights and human rights, because whatever else happens with people, those two factors are very important. Whatever else happens affects the civil rights and human rights, which is really the protection, you know, of people. Whatever is going on in the stock market eventually comes down to the level of the people. And one line I use when I'm doing stand-up is that for most of us anyway, there's a lot of talk about the trickle-down theory,
mm-hmm.
But for most of us, trickle down means to suck it up. Because, well, even back when that phrase first got started, trickle down.
That was Ronald Reagan, wasn't it?
Yes. And we went through the same mess back then with tax cuts, whatever, to save money for the privileged. But they squandered that money by using it on mergers of various companies, law firms, what have you. And none of it was ever did trickle down in a good way to the workers down below, so to speak. And it so it's really a violation of human rights for those people, just like it is now. One comment I use quite often when I'm doing stand-up, and this isn't particularly funny, but that is that when it comes to relations with different people, the whole notion of tolerance really falls short and needs to change. Tolerate is what we do with something that's bad and disappear and needs to be fixed. But different colors, place of origin, or different language leaves no one in need of repair. We need more thought and action for diversity and acceptance. It's just, we seem to have a very condescending attitude sometimes towards others.
Mm-hmm.
We have closed a lot of factories in this country in the past few decades and shipped the jobs overseas, but the people, all too often, the people who work in these plants overseas are working in sweatshops, and their own human rights and civil rights are being denied.
We're not very good at governing ourselves, are we, as human beings? When you think of the bees and the ants and all the different groups of critters who somehow manage to organize themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But as human beings, I think we've done an abysmal job.
Yeah. And we seem, there's a, of course, a fear of other people. I think this fear is generated for selfish reasons by several who are on the upper edge of the elitist group. And it's a fear that, the kind of fear I think, you know, some animals don't have. Maybe if we studied these other animals close enough, we're going to see that they can be pretty brutal too.
Yeah, but nature can be very brutal.
Oh, yes. But we seem to have our own style of being selfish. And even it means denying the quality of life to others.
You strike me as being a bit of a philosopher and life artist. Do you think much about your reason for being?
No. Maybe I do and don't think of it that way. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Back when, I think it was before we moved to Maine, when I wasn't very old, 7 or 8, I heard a discussion on the radio, even back then, in the mid-50s, about how the planet was going to really suffer someday from a lack of water.
No kidding.
And my thought to that was, well, maybe I should stop drinking water.
Oh, no. That's a beautiful childlike response, isn't it?
And apparently I haven't stopped.
That's a lot to ask of yourself.
It is. I had to wonder. Yeah, it is.
Too much to sacrifice.
And I had to wonder if that was my, just the way I care about other people, or if I had a lower value of myself. Just thinking that there are more important uses for the water than giving it to me. but I still drink it. And, you know, that was a long time ago. And we haven't done much to straighten out the situation with the water.
It's gotten worse.
Yes.
So tell me about stand-up. What's it like to stand before an audience without a script? Do you come up with jokes beforehand, or is a lot of it improvised?
For me, I still organize my thoughts and what I'm going to say, my notes, beforehand. And I've had a few workshops. Some of them have been with Eddie Bro, one of the better teachers and stand-up artists. And some advice from him and from others is that if you go on to national TV show like The Letterman Show or other shows are on now, you want to have
Letterman's
your,
retired.
No, yes, but I heard this back when you was
on. Oh, yeah. Okay.
You need to have all your notes memorized.
So what's your favorite joke right now? Have you got a good one for us?
Oh, I don't know. Of course, jokes come and go. Mine tend to be with current topics.
Because I always forget jokes. I can't remember them.
And some of the best jokes, some of the best humor is started by some that's not being humorous at all. It's very serious.
Yeah.
And I really don't care if I just try to get my thoughts out there. If people laugh, fine. If they don't, fine. But, you know, this past week or two, the CDC, Center for Disease Control, finally put Trump's rule into effect to put a gag rule on any doctors giving advice to patients regarding abortions.
I heard about that.
Yeah, when there's federal money involved. So now I think the CDC stands for the Center for Dialogue Control.
Yeah.
Goldfish crackers, which everyone has had. I think of those as caviar for the poor. Although they're getting expensive enough, so the poor are in trouble buying them, you know.
Yeah. Okay, those are some kind of gentle jokes. You strike me as being a gentle person. I've always thought that of you, Peter.
Really?
You think it comes from your farming background? And I was wondering, does the desire for fame drive you?
No. Maybe it should. Maybe I don't have quite the ego for that or something. I don't know. I'd like to get what I do. I'd like for it to get out there. And I seem to be less uncomfortable on stage than I used to be. So I kind of enjoy doing it more. But
fame, not so much. You don't care about being on the cover of People magazine.
No, I don't, except maybe if I did have some fame, that would probably help me get the word out that I'm trying to get out. So maybe
the word about politics.
About anything, whatever I say.
Yeah. So does your family your family are still in your life, or you live alone?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
I live alone.
Are they supportive of your acting career?
They are. Yeah, I have one brother, older brother, Stanley, and two sisters, Mariella and Priscilla. Oh, they're very supportive, yeah.
Okay.
Maybe they roll their eyes once in a while, and I understand that. But, sure.
Have you ever thought about moving to California to get more work?
I have. And I'm still here.
I guess that decision got made.
For the time being, it's...
Yeah.
It's always an option. I can't say it's not an option because that would mean giving up on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But all the work seems to be out there in terms of movies.
Yes.
Do you prefer movies or TV or stage?
Well, I like them all. I've worked on mostly background work, but some, yeah, very few small speaking roles, short roles.
In movies?
Movies, yeah. Over 30 movies and TV pilots. And I love doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I get a call about that, I just jump at the opportunity. And I don't know, I guess there's a balance. It has to be a balance. I don't know.
You don't prefer one over the other? Some actors like to be on the stage because of the immediate response. And being in the movies, well, I guess you have the camera crew, but you don't really have an audience.
Right. And I do seem to have some chemistry between me and the camera itself. I seem to be very camera friendly.
Some people are and some people aren't.
Right, right.
It's funny how that works. So the camera just loves you.
Something like that. It helps. If you ask the camera, maybe you'll hear something different.
Do you remember your first performance? You said your first performance was in the school play in high school. Do you remember your first performance? You talked a little bit about working with Basil here. Basil. I don't know how you pronounce that name. Basil or Basil?
He pronounced it Basil.
Basil.
It's spelled the same. Yeah.
It's spelled like the herb.
Yes.
But he started the Maskers Theater here in Belfast. And
yes.
Do you remember that first performance?
My first performance was A Good Woman of Szechuan. I remember doing it. I was one of the gods.
You were a god.
One of them,
Of course.
And we just came out once in a while and set these other people straight.
It's good that you did production. That as a god, came out and set people straight.
It didn't take me too many shows to discover that even when I had a serious role, people tended to laugh at what I was doing.
Just whatever, you just have that natural comedy.
Apparently.
Yeah. Well, this is Jennifer Hill, and our show is Finding Common Ground. We're here with performer Peter Patton, actor, writer, comedian, and grocery store bagger. And we're here talking about his life and his career. I want to let you know that this is Belfast Community Radio, WBFY 100.9 FM in Belfast, Maine. We're streaming live at belfastcommunityradio.org. And we do have a call-in function. This is a live show, and if you'd like to give us a call and ask Peter any questions or talk to him and say anything you'd like on the air within reason, no swearing. The phone number here is 207-338-2277. That's 207-338-2277. So, Peter, is there some piece of wisdom that you've made sense of over the years that you could pass along to young performers listening?
Well, other than to ask them to stay out of my way.
Young performers would have a hard time competing with you for the roles that you're going for, I think.
At my age, it's probably right. I just turned 72. There is one piece of advice I could give to young performers in this area. Since 2001, I've done a lot of work with the Maine Media Workshops down in Rockport. A film workshop school for both filmmaking and for photography, and I act and model.
And so they're still around? I didn't realize they were still around.
They have 250 or more maybe 300 workshops every summer.
Wow. Do they pay you to work there? Or is it volunteer?
Mostly volunteer. Some of the modeling pays. But they provide free meals, maybe some lodging.
Sounds like fun.
It is. And the best part of it is meeting all the amazing creative people there, both the students and the teachers. And the teachers are usually very well established themselves, accomplished a lot. Aside from, I think it's three, well, it's a lot of advantages to it. Just having a good time, meeting lots of amazing people.
You like hanging out with creative people?
Yes, I like hanging out with people, and quite often creative people. but I seem to enjoy all kinds of people. Another thing I get from the workshops is that all this work I've done in the feature films, over 30 of them, one way or another, the contact for that I got through Maine Media.
So you really get connected up that way.
Maine Media's helped a lot, just indirectly, you know, contacts, that kind of stuff. I like to brag about what I've done in Maine Media when I'm on stage, and I like to say that they love me there and they want to use me in the shoots, and whenever they see me, all they can think of is using me in the shoots. And I know this because whenever I approach a group of them, I can hear them say, "Here comes Peter. Oh, shoot."
That's a very clean joke, Peter.
Yes, well, thank you.
Yeah, that's very clean.
Yeah.
So if you had it all to do over again, would you do it all over again? I'm not sure. You did say that you didn't think you'd pay for all that schooling. So we kind of already got to that question.
Yeah, I ran up a big bill there, but
yeah.
I don't really have any regrets about anything I've done.
Yeah.
I met a lot of great people when I was there at school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Roseanne Barr's show was canceled this week because of a tweet she claims was written while under the influence of a drug. What is your feeling about her show's subsequent cancellation?
If the decision were mine, I would have fired her. Just no need for comments like that. And she's had comments in the past. And that's just not the kind of, I would even call that hateful. Just not the kind of dialogue and comments and that's going to bring us together.
Yeah. A lot of comedy is very, I don't know, harsh, would you say?
Yeah, it is.
Hello? Hold on. Okay, we have a caller. Go ahead, yes, caller.
Hi, thank you. I enjoy listening to your show. I just wondered, how long has your guest been sacking groceries? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Well, that's a really good question.
What was the question?
How long have you been sacking groceries?
11 years. I started in 2007 after I finished full-time farming. So it's 11 years this month.
Well.
Yep.
So you farmed right up until 11 years ago.
Yeah. You know.
Is your family still farming?
No, Joyce Benson, who's now my ex, kept the farm business.
And oh,
farm.
You were married and yep. She kept the
yes.
farm.
Yes, and she's doing a good job with it. No. I wanted to see her succeed, and I wanted to see the farm succeed.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And that's happening. Yep.
That's actually a dream job of mine. When I was young, they didn't let girls bag the groceries. So,
really?
No, if you were a girl, you had to do some other job. You couldn't, that was only boys. When I was young, to tell you how old I am, they had men wanted and women wanted. They were separate colors.
Really? Yep.
The jobs were very delineated.
Mm-hmm.
So I always, when I go to the grocery store, I want to pack my own groceries because it's just so much fun. I love that checkout aisle where you can do it yourself.
Sure. And any time when you're in the, at the regular counter, you know, the bigger counters with the bagger at the end, you know, just say so if you want to bag your own groceries because sure, you're more than welcome to.
Yeah. Do you have any other tips for us at the grocery store? Any insider tips about using your cart maybe or bagging your groceries?
No, most people, I think, know what they're doing. I see a lot of, the only comment I make about the carts, a lot of people like to use the small carts, and I understand that because it's easier to navigate in the store, but it's so difficult to, you know,
to
get a big
order. To move them
all in. Or get a big pile, big order of groceries into a small cart. And it can be better for the groceries if they're
spread out a little.
In a big cart.
I've had that issue. I used to use the smaller cart, and I finally had to succumb and realize that I was just couldn't squeeze them all in there. Yeah. Guess it depends on how often you shop. Some people shop every day.
Yes.
Other people once a month, maybe.
And I love seeing all these people in there.
Yeah?
You're
a people person.
I am. And that's something that's a new experience for me because when I was farming, of course, I got around in a neighborhood once in a while, but I was pretty much isolated.
Isolated.
And when I first gave some thoughts to doing something else besides farm, what I originally thought of was something that meant having a receipt pad in my pocket, because the only other people I really came in contact with were those who made deliveries to the farm, like grain or some equipment supplies or something, or the truck driver who came and picked up the milk, because all of them had to give me some kind of receipt. So that's the only experience I had with outsiders.
Wow.
And it took me, Hannaford was my first job other than farming and going to college. And it's really been like a halfway house for me all these years, because it was a culture shock for me and it was something for me to get used to.
Wow. Hmm? Interesting. So where was your farm? Was
in the town of Troy.
So that was the family farm?
Yeah.
Oh, and you left that to your ex, your family farm to your ex-wife. That's nice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. About 4 or 5 miles out of Unity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty close. Yeah. Well, your Facebook page shows a feeling for injustice. The top post is from MSNBC, and it's titled 658 children taken from adults at the border, to which your friend has commented, terrorism at its worst. How do you make sense of the current administration's policy on immigration?
I can't. I think they're trying to, you know, encourage fear. Because I think it feeds into some schemes that he and the president and his friends have, monetary schemes, of course. I don't know, it's terrible. You have to go back to one of Franklin Roosevelt's comments, you know, all we have to fear is fear itself, and it's so easy to breed fear, especially in hard times. And if it, we don't appear to be having hard times and others try to manipulate things so at times do become harder for us.
Yep. If you were going to play an ideal president, where would you look to for your material?
Ideal president?
Yeah, if you were going to portray a president, if you were asked to play a president.
Oh, geez. well, we seem to have an actor as president now. And I don't have to look very far. The president, like anybody, president has to be like ordinary people. You have to have empathy for others.
Mm-hmm.
More empathy than sympathy, because you know, sympathy can be kind of patronizing. You're looking down at people trying to feel bad for them, but you're supposed to absorb what's going on around you. I don't know. I put a joke on Facebook by 2 years ago saying I'm going to run for president. And many people said that they would support me, and that scared me. And, you know, I get rid of that joke in a hurry.
You maybe wouldn't even want to portray a president.
Oh,
God. Donald Trump is ridiculed as a narcissist and a fool, but if he is so stupid, how did he get to be president?
Well, I'm not sure. You know, back before he sent some missiles with bombs into Syria recently, he warned them a day or two beforehand that those missiles are coming. He warned the Russians, and you had to wonder why. Was there a reason for it or whatever? But he warned us plenty before the election what kind of idiot president he would be. And we elected him anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. Who was your favorite leading lady in the movies?
I can't think of her name. She's American.
One of my subsequent questions might have the answer. Is there any truth to the rumor that you and Sandra Bullock have something going on?
Well, aside from spending some time in a bar one day, and she and Melissa McCarthy, both awesome people.
Is she your favorite, Sandra Bullock?
I think so. I like any movie I've seen her in. I like what she does.
I like her.
Mm-hmm. I was in a Cameron Diaz movie once, and I chat with her for a few minutes, and she's a very nice person.
Is acting fun for you, or is it torture?
Fun. I suppose it can be torture, but it's fun. If you think, if you enjoy doing something and what other people doing might feel like torture, you know, you kind of make it fun for you. And maybe it's torture for them.
Okay. Are you a method actor?
Not really. I know what method actors are, sort of, but I've never been trained that way. And I don't even know it's as accepted a technique of acting as it used to be.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't see a lot of method acting going on now.
No.
So, do you use the fact that you're a white man in your stand-up comedy routine? Do you refer to yourself like a lot of times people in their stand-up, this kind of self-depreciating humor? And
my humor can be self-depreciating. on issues of race and color, I don't know if I really
haven't milked that.
Yeah. One reason is I think in order to be valid, any observation that's made has to be one that can be made by somebody of any color.
Mm-hmm. So you prefer to be more colorblind?
Colorblind, also realizing that color is an issue so much in our lives and has to be dealt with.
Yeah.
I think that one thing I thought a few minutes ago is political correctness. There's some good points supporting it and some not supporting it, but basically I support it because I think that comments on political correctness kind of reference changing norms. What might have been acceptable 20, 30 years mm-hmm. ago and isn't now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe it shouldn't have been back then.
Mm-hmm.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar had some very good comments about political correctness.
What did he say?
Just that there is a reason for it.
Mm. Yeah.
And depends on what different people think political correctness is. And
mm-hmm.
there are some comments sometimes that people think it is political correctness and others think it really doesn't go there at all. So the fact that we can still discuss all these things
mm-hmm.
helps.
After yourself, who is the most handsome man in show business right now, in your opinion?
Oh, God, that'd be a very distant second. I don't know. Very handsome. God, I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I don't think about it. Never gave it a thought.
Well, they always have on the cover of the magazines, yeah. The sexiest man alive.
And
I don't
when
know
I,
where they come up with that.
And when I see it at a supermarket,
yeah.
I just turn to a person next to me and say, huh, and they didn't even ask me.
They didn't even ask
did
you.
Did they take my picture? No.
So do you have a favorite story that we can end on about a movie that you've worked on?
Is a comment? Can I make a comment about baseball?
Oh, I'm sure.
I'm not really a baseball fan either. I don't watch much sports.
Sure. No.
It's an observation from a couple of weeks ago about how there are more home runs than ever being hit in baseball. And it probably makes a more interesting game. And it's been observed that the center of the balls is more dense and heavier than it used to be. And the skins are tighter and thinner. I thought, well, maybe a hardball approach is what we need to straighten out our country. We could use more home runs.
Mm.
But baseball is also getting more strikeouts. More home runs on one end, strikeouts on the other. So what's left in the middle? Well, not much of anything. So, baseball and America are pretty much sharing the same problem. Both are becoming polarized.
Mm-hmm. That is a fact.
Mm-hmm.
That is a fact. Well, that's what this show is hoping to address, is that polarization as we listen to each other and hear the different perspectives. We're hearing a lot of different perspectives for sure.
Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you for inviting me in.
Well, thanks for being on the show, Peter.
It's been fun.
Yes. Yes, I wanted to let the listeners know that tonight at 7 p.m. at the Crosby, the Soulbenders are going to be playing. And that's a fundraiser for an organization. They're raising money for a Native American. Have you heard about that, Peter? It's going to be at the Crosby tonight at 7.
Yeah. At 7?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going to be Soulbenders. Have you heard of them play? It's supposed
to be
really good.
I've never heard of them. Mm-hmm.
So check it out at the Crosby tonight.
Yeah.
And I wanted to let you know that next Saturday we will have Wayne Marshall, the housing guy at the city. He's the city planner is what he's called. He's going to be talking about housing. And the week after that, we're going to have Thomas Kitteridge, the economic development director, on. And on and on. Well, once again, we're at the end of a show, and I want to thank our listeners for listening, and we will talk to you next week.